Welcome to the Aeronaut Podcast, dear listeners, where we go nuts about aviation. Talk show that covers one topic in depth in each episode. My name is Boss, and together with me, Aldrich and Vincent are going to be discussing about piston engines. So then, gentlemen, how are y'all?
For me, it's just been a normal week doing my job. Every day, and then just relaxing, and maybe meet some girls.
Okay.
nice.
Okay. So thank you very much. How about yourself, Vincent?
Yeah, I'm doing better by the day. I had my simulator, my day so-called lofts. Session on the weekend, so yeah, I kind of took out my time, so I got weekend time. After the simulator session, I went back into my cave.
So don't mind just sharing a little bit about your simulator. So what were you all dealing about?
Basically, the co-pilot is the pilot flying. So in this session is where it helps the co-pilot to, you know, make decisions, and, you know, in case of any emergencies were to happen, and in case, like, let's say the captain is not around, so basically when the captain's not around, the co-pilot is actually the second in command. So yeah, so they simulate all kinds of emergencies, so that they evaluate how the co-pilot reacts to it and lead the team, basically.
So basically, you were dealing like with ETOPS and, you know, like the electrical failure and in that sense, right? Correct.
Yeah, basically something like that.
All right. So me on the other hand, yeah. I have been my week is always average. It's either I'm at home for long periods of times or I am ridiculously busy with either classes or work. So yes, but other than that, I'm seeing my herb garden grow and I'm enjoying it. So yes, that is sort of my week has been going on. So yes. Anyways, so before we go in depth about the piston engines, we will be actually talking about some physics related theories and laws, so that it gives a much more better understanding of how a piston engine functions, how it works. So probably we will be explaining them along the podcast shortly. So yes, gentlemen, what are the theories and laws do you believe that takes part in the piston engine?
Okay, so basically, first, it involves with the Newton's laws of motion. So the first law is when a body will remain in a state of rest or uniform motion in a straight line unless influenced by an outside force. The opposition of a body to change its state of rest or uniform motion is called inertia.
Basically, in short, what Audrey is trying to say is that if, for example, if a plane is flying at the same speed, it will continue to maintain the same speed unless something happens to make it accelerate, then the plane will actually accelerate.
Okay, the next law, the acceleration of a body is directly proportional to and in the direction of the force acting on it and inversely proportional to its mass.
Right, so the second law, as mentioned by Aldrich, is that in a simpler way, that we must add up the forces of lift, weight, drag, and thrust, and also take into account the mass of the airplane to determine which direction and how fast the airplane is accelerating.
Okay, for the third law, for every force acting on a body, there is an equal and opposite force, action and reaction, that are equal and opposite.
So basically, the third law shows that there will be an opposite reaction for every movement the plane is making. So generally, it it involves the air movement as a result for this airplane movement.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, yes. Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for the Newton's law. Okay. So, the next one will be, I believe, thermodynamics, right? So, who would like to give it a try?
Thermodynamics. Thermodynamics is a science of the relationship between the heat, work, temperature, and energy. Uh-huh. So in broader terms, thermodynamics deals with the transfer of energy from one place to another and from uh-huh. one form to another.
Uh-huh.
So basically, the key concept here is that heat is a form of energy corresponding to a definite amount of mechanical work. So in short, thermodynamics is what allows a jet engine to turn fuel into thrust.
Uh-huh. Okay, so having said that, how many laws are there for thermodynamics and what are they? Uh-huh.
So the first law of thermodynamics,
uh-huh.
this law states that heat and mechanical energy are mutually convertible and that the rate of exchange is constant and can be measured. And the second law, this may be stated as heat flows from a hot substance to a cold substance unaided, but it is impossible for heat to flow from a cold substance to a hotter substance without the expenditure of energy supplied from an external source. Yeah, that's the first and second law.
Vincent, don't mind explaining the first and second laws for in a very simple term so that maybe we can understand better?
Okay, for the first law, I'll use a drop of water as an example.
Okay, that'll do.
So, The water itself has an amount of stored energy in terms of temperature,
uh-huh.
be it cold or hot. Okay,
uh-huh.
So if you were to place a drop of water onto a colder surface,
uh-huh.
the water would tend to raise the temperature of the cold surface,
uh-huh.
increasing its stored energy while lowering its own.
Uh-huh. Right. So how about the second law?
A short example for the second law would be. When a heat involves the transfer of energy from higher to lower temperature,
uh-huh.
so there's basically a cold object in contact with a hot one will never get cold, uh-huh. will never get colder. Hot object will actually transfer the heat over to the cold object, making it almost similar to each other.
So in other words, it's equilibrium, correct?
Mm, yeah.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. And there are other theories also that comes into play. So what are they? Who would like to explain about this?
Okay, for Bernoulli's theorem in an airplane, for example, the wing, because the surface on top of the wing, it has a curvature. So at the beginning part of the wing, the air needs to accelerate. That means the velocity of the air accelerates on top of the wing. So there, therefore at the back of the wing, the pressure decreases. Whereby, under the wing where the surface is more flat, there will be a higher pressure. So, that will create the lift effect from the wing. And that's Bernoulli's theorem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, why is Bernoulli's principles crucial for aircrafts? Although we are talking about piston engines right now, but why is it still crucial for aeroplanes?
I think it's because of the air intakes and outlets. If it's affected, and then the airflow might be disrupted. Yeah, that's the thing. The airflow will be more turbulent and it will affect the airflow going to the engine or out of the engine. Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, because in turbine, although we will be talking about turbine engines later, but yeah, if the airflow is not smooth, it can actually backfire and it will cause an engine stall. So yes, it's true. Okay, so now let's narrow down Bernoulli's principles slightly even more. I'm sure both of you are familiar with the Venturi effect. So how does the Venturi effect apply? Or maybe before we go there, who would like to explain about the Venturi effect?
Okay, so basically, for the Venturi effect, there will be a convergent duct. So that means when air flows through a duct, the velocity increases. And then there is a drop in pressure and a decrease in temperature. That's in a convergent duct. So for a divergent duct, an area which gives a decrease in velocity with an increase in pressure and temperature.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one. Venturi tube or duct, a combination of convergent followed by divergent duct. So the velocity will be highest and the pressure and temperature will be lowest at the throat and narrowest portion of the duct. That's it.
Okay, maybe I will explain this if that's the case. So, just make it for simple understanding for everybody. We are all on a highway. So, the road is actually from a three lane going into a one lane kind of road. So, obviously, all of us will be going slow and all. Am I correct? And then once when we all individually reach that single lane, our speed will not be maintaining like 20 kilometers per hour or 30 kilometers per hour. We will be actually exceeding about 60. And once the road becomes from a single lane, becomes to a three lane back again, I'm sure we will be going, we will, you know, because there's no pressure from the back, there's no cars rushing in the back, we will actually like tend to slow down and, you know, go in our own normal speed. So yeah, that is the closest thing I could relate to when I'm explaining about the Venturi effect. So when you're converging, you go slow, it will be quite warm. And when you are in a single lane, a very narrow pathway, then you have to go faster, so it's slightly colder. And then when you go back, when you diverge again, it becomes warmer again. So that is how pressure actually works. Actually, that's my way of understanding how a Venturi actually works. So anyways, and lastly, before we go into the operations of the piston engine, there is another theory that comes into picture, and it is known as the Otto cycle. I believe Aldrich is familiar with it. So please, Aldrich, explain to us. What is an Otto cycle?
The Otto cycle, it is basically the theoretical cycle on which the principle of operation of all four-stroke internal combustion engine is based. So, this cycle involves four strokes of the piston and two revolutions of crankshaft movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, the lower limit of the stroke is called bottom dead center and the higher limit is called top dead center.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the first stroke, the induction stroke at top dead center, the inlet valve opens, the piston head descends, and air fuel mixture is drawn into the cylinder. At bottom dead center, the valve closes. And second, compression stroke, both inlet and outlet valves are closed, the piston ascends, and the combustible mixture is compressed into the combustion chamber. Third power stroke, where fuel and air is burnt, a spark at the spark plug ignites the mixture and combustion causes a rapid increase of gas pressure in the combustion chamber. The increased gas pressure forces the piston down the cylinder. The last stroke, which is the exhaust stroke, the exhaust valve opens and the piston ascends, causing the gases to escape past the open valve and pass to the atmosphere, which then the pressure reduces. Yeah, that's the Otto cycle.
Okay, probably for better understanding about this Otto cycle theories, we will not be explaining it now. We will explain it when we are actually talking about how a piston engine works later in the episode. So we will just proceed to the next four-stroke cycle in an engine, right? So then, the four-stroke cycle engine is the most common type of piston engines at this moment. Having said that, there are four strokes in a cycle, but we are aware that there are five events that actually happen, right? So, why is the five event? Just give a simple breakdown. What are the five events, if you don't mind, before we proceed to the next question?
Okay, the five events are, the first one is the intake. Next one is compression.
Mm-hmm.
Combustion.
Mm-hmm.
Then power. Mm-hmm. Then finally exhaust.
So there are five events in a four-stroke cycle engine. So why is the five-stroke operation crucial, plays a very crucial role in operating of a piston engine?
The intake, the compression, actually, the ignition, power, and the exhaust is a cycle which actually must take place in order, mm-hmm. in correct mm-hmm. order, so that the engine it is allowed the engine to operate. Right? So you basically cannot omit all these five events. Each event must actually take place in the proper sequence.
Mm-hmm.
So in short, let's say if a gasoline supply is shut off, so basically you won't be able to proceed to the next step, which is the power.
So in short, without any of these events, the engine will not function, right?
Yep.
Even one example is the spark plug fouling, they call it, for carburetor aircraft like the Cessna. Because in case there's a spark plug fouling where the spark plug is not maintained well or something, then you'll have engine failure in the air if it's not working well.
That makes a lot of sense. All right then. So thank you very much, gentlemen. As mentioned earlier, we were speaking about theories now. So the more detailed explanation of what happens in the piston engine will be coming up next. So before we proceed there, who would like to give a good summary about the theories that we have spoke before we proceed to the next?
What we did was we talked all the in regards to all the boring theories lah.
Uh-huh.
So first we actually start off by saying explain what is Newton's law.
Uh-huh.
What are the Newton laws of motions that are actually affecting aviation industry? Then next uh-huh. we talk about thermodynamics. Right. So thermodynamics, we basically have two laws on the thermodynamics, and next we actually talk about Bernoulli's principle where Aldrich explained what the Bernoulli's principle is all about. So lastly, the Otto cycle. So basically, it's in order for a four-stroke cycle to occur, it needs five events in order uh-huh. for an engine to actually function.
Uh-huh.
Right, and these five events are actually the intake, compression, ignition, power, and exhaust.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right. So thank you very much for the very brief summary. So now, let's talk about the piston engine, since that's sort of like our main topic. So now, what is a piston engine? Before we go into aviation, let's just make it simple, general. Whenever I ask a piston engine to both of you, what is the first thing that comes into mind?
A car's engine.
Car's engine. So what is a piston engine then?
Okay, the term piston engine is an engine in which the working fluid is expanded in a cylinder against a reciprocating piston. This term could be applied to any reciprocating type of internal combustion engine, but it will be used in these notes to imply the type of engine used as the power plant for aircraft and motor cars, namely the four strokes, gasoline and spark ignition engine. Also known as a constant volume engine.
Okay, so piston engines actually have another name in for aircraft. So any idea what what do we actually call it?
Rotary engine.
Okay, any other ones?
Reciprocating piston engine.
What is the difference between a ground, like a car engine, and a piston engine? I'm sure there are minor ones, but what are they? Any idea? I would say that the car radiator has liquid, and the aircraft one has air.
Oh, okay.
I mean, yeah, in that sense, that sort of like, you know, the basic obvious ones. So, any other things that you all would like to try?
The aircraft has a dual ignition system as compared to an automobile.
Mm-hmm. True. It's for contingencies. If one fails and another one backs up, that is why we do magneto checks whenever we fly. Okay. The another one that I could think of a difference between a piston engine in a, of an aircraft and a engine, and a ground related piston engine is, car piston engine can go for a minimum of three piston cylinders. Whereby for a piston engine on an aircraft, minimum must be four. It's just a fun fact, lah. But anyways, thank you very much, gentlemen. Now, principle of how a piston engine works. Okay. Now, since we just now explained about the auto cycle and all these things, so now how does a piston engine function? Maybe we'll go step by step on how they actually, or what happens, how it happens, and all these things. So who'd like to go first?
Okay, a piston engine is basically a constant volume engine, mm-hmm. where it works on the piston, converts the heat energy of the fuel it burns into mechanical energy by inducing air and fuel mixture into the cylinder, which is then compressed by a piston. Then the compression increases the pressure and causes an adiabatic rise in temperature. An electric spark causes the mixture to ignite at a predetermined time. Mm-hmm. Then due to combustion, there is a further rapid rise in the temperature and pressure of the gases and causes the piston to be forced down the cylinder. Therefore, the linear movement of the piston is converted into rotary movement of the crankshaft by the connecting rod. Then finally, the burnt gases are then exhausted to the atmosphere.
A quick explanation of how a typical piston engine operates. So we'll be using the auto cycle as a reference. So in intake, the piston actually moves down in the cylinder, drawing in air and fuel through the open intake valve. So in the compression stage, the intake and exhaust valves in the cylinder close, and the piston moves up in the cylinder, compressing the fuel air mixture. Whereas in the power cycle, as a piston nears the top of the cylinder during the compression stroke, a burst of electricity from the ignition system generates a spark in the spark plugs. The sparks ignite the air or fuel mixture, which expands rapidly as it burns. The force of this expansion drives the piston back down in the cylinder. Mm-hmm. So as the piston moves down, it turns the crankshaft, which in turn turns the propeller.
Okay.
The power stage. And lastly, on the exhaust stage, when the piston reaches the bottom of the cylinder, the exhaust valve opens. The piston then moves back up in the cylinder, pushing the burnt air or fuel mixture out of the cylinder. Each cylinder cycles through these four strokes in turn, ensuring that at least one piston is always producing power. So they take turns, basically.
All right. So thank you very much for your explanation. So now, can someone just explain on how does the cooling, how does an aircraft engine cooling system work?
I can give a brief one. Basically, the piston engine has a cooling system. So this cooling system basically is designed to reduce and control the temperature of the engine, and in particularly the cylinder barrels and head. Uh-huh. Which contain the combustion chamber and valves. Uh-huh. So basically, if there is no cooling, the temperature will rise to levels that will actually lead to detonation of the engine, which in turn results in internal damage of the engine. So there are basically three ways of cooling system in a piston engine, which is air cooling, cowl flaps, and also liquid cooling.
Okay. I think detonation is a very big word and not a very common word that we're actually familiar. So I'll just give a brief explanation of what is detonation. The definition that states over here is the action of causing explosive device to explode. So hence comes from the word detonation for the you know. I mean, we need combustion in order to move the piston downward, right? So we need power. So yeah, that's the word for detonation, just for your information. So yes. Right. So thank you very much, Vincent, for the explanation. So since piston engines are for to a common man, very, 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 it looks the same. So, how similar is it compared to a car and aircraft? How similar are they? Can we like fill automobile fuel in an aircraft, or and vice versa?
You can, but I don't know what is the conditions that you can use the fuel for.
Okay.
Theoretically speaking, they can actually run out the same type of fuel.
Uh-huh.
But because of the different environment that the airplane travels through is very, very different from your normal driving condition.
Uh-huh.
So temperatures, let's assuming temperature in flight for planes can actually drop to under about negative 40 degrees Celsius.
Uh-huh.
So if you were to use a normal gasoline at this temperature, I would say most likely it will freeze. So eventually there will be no proper combustion.
Mm-hmm.
And that will actually lead to the engine to basically freeze or stop working.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So for that reason, they actually don't use car fuel on an airplane.
All right. So we have discussed about how it works, how the engines are being cooled down, and can we use normal petrol or diesel for that matter for an aircraft. So now, what are the pros and cons of a piston engine? Let's go for the goods first. What are the pros?
Simple in design, and I think they provide the thrust in a faster way than a turbine engine.
When you mention faster, do you mean lag compared to a turbine engine for power?
Yeah, I mean that's one word for it. Like instant power, you give you instant power thrust, mm-hmm. instead of like turbine, they have lag. Turbine got spool lag, what spool up lag or something, I don't know. Yeah, so yeah, the lag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, how about maintenance-wise for a piston engine? Is it much more simplified? Much more. I mean, it's easy to maintain a piston engine, is it?
Yes, it's a great design and easy to maintain, yeah.
Okay. So now, having said that we have spoken about the pros, how about the cons of a piston engine?
Yeah, limited engine power for piston engines.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, high combustion rate.
Uh-huh.
And the stability of the fuel supply, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And also poor fuel economy. These are a few cons of the piston engine.
Oh. Okay. All right, so there you have it, folks. So these are the pros and cons of a piston engine. On what, and I believe this is why we actually there's a difference between engines for performance. So then, I believe for now this is it for the piston engine discussion. So is there anything else, gentlemen, you'd like to add before we close this topic?
No.
Let's let Audrey do the summary.
So yes, since just now Vincent did the mini summary, so let's see Audrey complete the total summary.
Okay, basically today we have learned a bit about the physics of how the piston engine works, which is the four-stroke cycle engine, mm-hmm. called auto cycle engine, piston engine. And mainly how it works.
All right.
The pros and cons of it.
All right. So there you have it, dear listeners. We have spoken about the piston engine. So in the event you have any questions, feel free to comment or send us your questions, and we will respond as soon as possible in the next episode. And on the next episode, we will be discussing about turbine engines as an overall. So that time, I think we will know the difference more in detail about how what is a piston engine and what is a turbine engine. So then, other than that, so thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time, and looking forward to see you again. Please feel free to follow us at our social media at AER0NUTS, at AER0NUTS. So give us a like, follow, and please promote us to your friends. They might know, they might not know things that you may have already done. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and have a good evening. And thank you, dear listeners, as well. Looking forward to hear you soon.